Thank you so much, Michelle, for this awesome presentation. That's the introduction. Right now, well, my name is Klinger, by the way, Klinger Laurent. I'm from Brazil. This is the second seminar entitled Break Forth and Innovate, the Seven Principles of Building a Successful Venture. Before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this time, for the privilege of talking about this amazing subject, building businesses, ideas, trying to reach people for your kingdom using our skills and the talents you've given us. Please, may your spirit be here and guide the thoughts, and may this be a blessing and pay tenfold afterwards. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, Michelle spoke a little bit about herself. I just briefly, you don't want to know much about me, boring story, but I was born in Brazil, and then let me go for my no, I'm just kidding. I actually been involved in family business not all my life. My mom was really a businesswoman ever since I was a little boy. And then I was a canvasser for many, many, many years. So when she mentioned anyone, what do you think about salespeople? And I've been a salesperson for so many years. And then I've been also involved in ministry as volunteer, and then at some point full-time, and then took over my family business in Brazil, then in Colombia as well. And then now for the last 2.5 years, I've been really studying a lot about marketing. And I've been doing marketing for a funeral business for the last couple of years. And then it was a really interesting project. You might be thinking, how do you do that? I wasn't actually selling a funeral plan, which I actually thought a lot about that. They do sell funeral plans. But I was actually building an online course for people who lost loved ones. You know, we're going to a grieving process, and we had the psychologist, and I worked with her. And basically what I'm going to be sharing this afternoon about Christ's marketing strategy and online marketing pretty much is that even if you learn these skills but you don't have an expertise, you're not an expert in anything, you can partner with somebody like I did with this expert on grieving process, and then we did the business together. We created the product, and it was a success. So anyway, enough of that. So now, this seven principles, I mean, we like to put, you know, five things you should know, seven principles you should have, and, you know, 10 things you know, for you to become this or that. There's more. There's a lot of things you can learn actually to be successful. And one of the things is never stop learning. So that's for sure. So I hope today you take some of these principles and apply. But before, if you haven't scanned, and if you want to share your ideas, you know, at the pitch competition tomorrow, so just make sure you just scan that real quick, and then you signed up for that. You can share your idea, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I see some, you know, people scanning, and yeah, go through that, and you're going to be fine. Now, the fourth seminar, we're going to be talking about the pitch, how you pitch a business, and we're going to be, you know, going through that in case you're kind of, you know, wondering how to do it, and yeah, that's going to be cool. Now, I'm going to move on. I see some people still. Okay. Now, if you have not joined the community, now, why should you join? This is why you should do it, because Hive can give you a lot of resources. And then we're also going to launch at Hive Academy eventually. And so you want to know when this is going to be ready. So you can decide, oh, should I get in? Should I not? Or, you know, so join the community. Another thing that Hive does is really cool. It's events. You know, they're going to have the event at Southern this next year. So you can't miss that if you're into business and marketing and ideas and all of that. So just join. Put your name there, and you're going to receive really cool information. There's like podcasts and all that. Now, a business model. Let's put the whole house here. Well, let me go one by one. Then, obviously, you want to have a model, you know, because you can follow through. And then let's put the bottom here, discipline. If you don't have discipline, I mean, how far can you go with anything in your life? You know, can't even finish, you know, doing the dishes because you get distracted or maybe you don't want to, and then you leave it for tomorrow, for the next day. Discipline, it's required for anything. Even Jesus, you know, he said, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself, pick up a cross. Or even Paul says, he's comparing the Christian walk with a fighter or a runner. You know, they fight and they strive to be the best. How much, you know, to get a perishable crown, how much more we that are striving for unperishable crown. So discipline, you know, we could say a lot about that, but it's very essential. Now, obviously you have to have a product or a service. How can you become, you know, have a business or model without a product or a service? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Marketing, if you don't have a marketing strategy, how can you present your product in an effective way so people can know? Obviously, sales, marketing, if it's not to sell, what are you doing marketing for, right? So a team, you have to have a good team that believe what you believe. They have the vision systems. You know, they really help. If you don't have good systems, you're going to get lost. You're going to lose money. You don't know how much really coming in or your expenses. And finances is really key. Then you have the results. And we're going to talk more about this. So this is kind of like, you know, in a nutshell, the business model. Okay, so let's talk about product and service. I'm going to try to be brief and general because Michelle also going to take over this lecture afterwards. So it's just, I don't want to take up her time, you know, so bear with me. Why do you want to sell your product? Why I say why? How many of you have heard the book or have read the book, Start With Why? Yeah, well, not many. We're going to recommend this. It's a really great book, Start With Why. And most people know what they do, and how they do it. But do they really know why they do it? And many businesses, when they lose the why, because usually starts with the passion. Michelle was talking about the passion for something. Now, if you don't know exactly why you're going to do that, you can easily down the line become obsolete. Let's say the example of Kodak. Kodak was into photos, right? Photographs. But now somebody in their company actually came up with a digital camera. Know the story? It was Kodak, and they presented it, and they thought it was really cool, but they put it aside. They put it in the archives. They didn't want to go through with the idea because that meant they're going to lose business on their films because they made a lot of money with films. So they lost the why. It was fuzzy. They lost the why, and they become obsolete because other people, if their why was, we just want to make people record and have great images and eternalize the moment. And if that was their why, they would do anything to fulfill that. Another great example was the railroad track in the U.S. They were the biggest enterprise here in this country. But they got caught up with the train business, and they lost. If their why was about transportation, getting people from place A to B, they would take over cars and airplanes too, because that was their why. But they were caught, you know, just narrowed their idea for what they did and how they did it. So have a why really, and we do have why very, as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventists, we do have a very important why, don't we? Yeah, don't lose that ever. How are you going to solve people's problem? So there's many ways to do it, so you have to answer those questions. Now, what does your product do for customers? Like the how, the why, the how, and the what? That's, you know, basically, it helps them to lose weight, you know, lose 10 pounds in 30 days. Okay, so that's what he does. How you do it? Is it a diet? Is it working out routine? So that, and what's unique about your product? Like Michelle said, it doesn't have to be super innovative, but if it does better and is solve people's problem. You have in a different way, in a better way, you know. Oops, just passed the last. Does it deliver what it promises? That's basically, you know. Now, a simple structure here in the pyramid, you could say from the least important to the most important, and say, well, really? Well, kind of. If you have a product, but you don't have a method, like a marketing method, you're going to have a problem getting your product out. But if you don't have an audience too, your product is irrelevant. But the audience can be actually two things. It can be the people who need your product, but also the audience that you're building as you're having a relationship. And this is so powerful. Because when you build an audience, you have the power. So did Jesus have a crowd? Yeah, he really did, didn't he? Okay. Now let's talk about marketing and sales. And I'm taking a lot of time. I'm getting nervous. So bear with me. Okay, 2 and 3, marketing and sales. Now, what is the fundamental principle? Now I'm getting into my thing. More comfortable zone. What is the fundamental principle of marketing, you would say? Like, what is the intention? What do you need marketing for? Like, if you'd say one word. What do you, relationship? Anybody want to risk? Well, that could be subjective, but, you know, I chose one, and I think it's the fundamental thing. Sales? What do you want with marketing? What do you, huh? Attention. Attention. Somebody said attention. Look, you want attention. Why do you want attention? Because that's the first thing you need for you to sell them something. Because if they don't give you the attention, look, I was a canvasser for many, many years. I've canvassed many programs. And look, you go in that door. Door to door is so effective. Why? Because you go in their door, you knock on their door, and they open, and now you have their attention. Most of the time. Many times you don't. They just slam at the door and say, no soliciting, bye. I'm calling the police. Get out of my property. So yeah, that happened. You don't have their attention. Can you sell to them if you don't have their attention? Not at all. You're done. They close the door. You're never going to sell them anything. Now, if you get their attention, now you have a chance to convince, to persuade them to sell them something. Did Jesus get people's attention? Oh, he did. Yeah, he definitely did. How do you do it? There's many ways you can do it. Like TikTok, what do the people do to get people's attention? You know, they dance, they do all this crazy thing. But I'll tell you, you don't need to do those things. Yeah, really. Now, let's put together here bad marketing versus a good marketing. Like, bad marketing is just like right away, buy now. Hey, here, do you have the coolest thing ever? Do you need it? Here, buy now, get 50% off. And then, I mean, annoying sometimes. The good marketing, download it for free. Try it out. Unending offers. Just, hey, here, again. Delivers valuable content. Don't even charge. Not talking about sales at all. You don't know them. Who's sending you these ads? You never seen them before, and all of a sudden they want you to buy their product? Now, you know them. You say, oh, I know Apple. Oh, I know this company. Oh, yeah, I've watched their videos. I know them. I trust them. You don't trust them. You don't know them, so you don't trust them. And then good marketing, you trust them. You don't buy from them because you don't trust them, and you buy many times from a good marketing strategy. We're going to talk more about that later on. Now, a process will be, you have a product or service, out of order, then a promise and offer, then, it wasn't supposed to be like this. Sorry, let me put all of here together. Yeah, I got your attention. See, then you get their attention, then you build trust, create an audience, create opportunities, build relationship. And then you sell your products and you say, oh man, that selling thing. Man, I had so many friends with Canvas. I said, I hate selling. I said, what are you doing here then? I mean, selling is not a bad thing. Actually, if you have a great thing, people are waiting for you to buy. They're waiting to buy. They want to buy. You want to buy many things. Who likes to buy things? Come on, we like to buy things. And why do we buy them? We buy them because we like them. We see value in them. So if you do this whole thing, you know, if you don't sell them afterwards, you do a lot of great things online for free and you don't sell them anything, you know what they're going to think? Well, I'm wasting my time here. They want to buy something from you. Then it's not over when you sell them. Then you have satisfaction because you have to keep up with them. You have to follow through. And then you maintain their relationship and the people will be your best salespeople ever if you do this. Now, I'm talking here about the process. The next one, we're going to talk about how do we do the process. Now, this is just a foundation from the book StoryBrand. Basically, you have a character in the story, which is the customer. Then he has a problem that he needs help with to solve. He's the hero there that needs to save the girl, you know. And then he has a problem, and then he meets the guide. Who can save me now? The guide is you. You, the business and the company and your product, you are not the hero. The customer is the hero. You are only the guide who gives them a plan for them to solve their problems. And you have a call to action. Say, this is the plan and this is what you need to do in order to put the plan into action. And then finally, they have two options, success or failure. This is complete? No, it's not complete. It's really incomplete. Jesus did a lot more than this, and you're going to see it. Now, what would Jesus' method look like then? Now, you have to come to the next seminar. Okay, yeah. So I can't tell you right now because I'm running out of time. So types of persona, just real quick. Michelle talked about this on the journey. You know, you have people ready and people that are not ready. This is sort of like ideal persona for what you have to offer. You think that just because you have a great product or a great idea, they're going to buy it right away? That's wrong. They're not ready. They need to get to know you more. Sometimes they don't even know you. So you have to understand and where they are so you can actually move them up the ladder so they finally become the ideal person who's actually ready to buy. So, and for people who don't know you, what you do for them to get to know you, you educate them with valuable information. Now, this, I'm not going to spend time here because I'm going to actually talk about this in the next seminar. So this is just like if you have your store or your sales page or your web page or your product, how do you get traffic? How do you get people to go to your store or to see your business? Or, you know, there are things you can do, and we're going to talk more about that later on, for them to actually buy. And this is a strategy that you repeat over and over again. It becomes a cycle, and it scales every time you repeat it. And ads, you have different types of ads. Because you say, I'm going to do an advertisement, so how do I do it? You get lost. Then you start with an objective, with the purpose. What's the purpose of this ad? Okay, the purpose is for people to find out about me. They don't know me, so just to discover me. Okay, so what kind of ad am I going to do? A story? I'm going to do a contrast, problem solution. You know, this is ideas, cool ideas for you to do an ad. And then this is mental triggers that you should use them in order to be effective on your language. Because it's not the same thing for you to say, for example, come, well, let me give an example. You should lose, have you tried many diets and many exercise routines to lose weight and you're so frustrated that it doesn't work for you? Do you want to lose weight and look great and all that kind of stuff? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Click here, and I'm going to show you how to do it in just 3 days, for example. And no exercise whatsoever. And you can still eat your pizza and chocolate and everything. And you're like, what? Really? But then you're like, wow, that's too good to be true. But what if I say this? Okay. And you think I'm lying, right? So let me call here John, Maria, and France, and Paula, and Peter, and then all of a sudden, they start telling their story. What am I doing here? I'm proving that it does work. Okay, so that's social proof and all that kind of stuff. Now, did Jesus use this? We're going to talk about this. He sure did. It's amazing. And then, at the last seminar, we're going to talk about 8 mistakes. But here, I'm just going to talk about one. A common mistake in sales and marketing is You offer what people need instead of what they want. Okay, what is that like? Okay, offering what people need is like this. Oh, they need to lose weight. So I'm going to offer, you know, a workout routine so they can lose weight. But really, that's not what they want. They don't want a workout routine. They just want to look good. They just want to feel good about themselves. How many of you want to feel good about yourself? Let me see. Okay. How many of you want to do ab routine in the morning? Well, just two guys. Three. I mean, seriously, you women want to do ab routine and all that kind of stuff and work out and sweat a lot. You don't want that. So if I'm talking about routines, I'm not really getting it to you. And you're like, yeah, I don't want that. But if I'm talking about, do you want to look nice for next summer? And feel good about yourself and, you know, have your self-esteem boost and you don't know how to do that and you're struggling with diets and here and there. So you should see this free class I prepared for you. Just click here and watch it. And then that's it. Not saying buy now, nothing. Just, hey, come. I'm saying the things that, the pains, you know, the pain. What is the pain? Not being able to go to a beach and feel relaxed or, you know, a pool party or whatever. I'm just making that up here. So the self-esteem might be what you want. So be careful with this. There's many, many examples. We may give some examples later on. Okay. So I think I'm done with my part. Let's see. Yeah, I am. There's lots of other principles that you should take in consideration for a successful business.
Oh, well, you have to come back this afternoon because I tell you, Clinger's part's going to be good. I need to come back this afternoon because I want to hear this. But we'll continue a few of the other principles here. I'm just going to pass something out as a backup, though, real quick. Some of you were signing up to pitch and were confused if you had the right thing, but it was going through. Even though it said it was like coaching or something like that, you did have the right form. But if you did not get to scan the QR code, but you want to share your idea tomorrow, we're just going to pass around some papers as a backup. So, multiple ways, just in case. So the fourth principle that we have here of having a successful business is you really do have to have a good team. And some of you in here are like, I don't want to work with a team because I just want to work by myself. Any of you more like the loners here, you want to work with yourself? I get it. And that is okay. It doesn't mean you have to have a whole big, huge business and a bunch of employees and a bunch of whatever. Some of you are like, I want to keep control of my business. I want to do this, and that is fine. But that being said, remember, this is really important. People buy into you, not just your business idea. You can have an amazing idea for this wonderful business, this wonderful invention, but if people don't trust that you can actually pull it off, they will not back you. And that's really a challenge that we have sometimes. And so building your own credibility is huge. Clinger talked about some ways to build your credibility. But don't go it alone. It really helps to have a team, even if it's still your business. That team could just be your mentors and advisors. So that people know, hey, this isn't just some like college kid trying to start some business, but hey, this college kid trying to start a business also has like people that really have a lot of experience that are advising him or her on, you know, how to do their marketing and how to build their business and how to do manufacturing. And so if you have a business you're starting, build your credibility by having a team, even if it's just your advisors, your mentors, your supporters, or people that really work with you, because it shows your credibility and it's going to make your business stronger. Because people are right in that they're going to look for those to support or to buy into that know what they're doing. And the better team you have, the more likely you are to succeed as well. So here's an example from a friend of mine of some people that he put on his team. So he has some experience, but he got some people on his teams. He got a CFO to do finances who has, you know, this finance concentration and has these degrees and is XYZ qualifications and a COO from Howard University and did all of these things. What does this do? If I know that my friend starting this business has people like this on his team. It's like, okay, well, you know, someone's going to be checking up on this. He's not just crazy. He's not just putting it out there saying he can do this. He's got some help from some people. Or maybe it's just advisors and consultants. So there's some people that he has on his team that are advisors and consultants. They're not even part of the business, but they have experience. They consult, and even investors that are already working with them. And this makes a big difference when people see who you're working with. And so, you know, I strongly advise you to find advisors. Find people and list them when you're talking about your business. So these could be your actual team members working on the business with you, or it could be just people that are helping and advising you. Having this strong team really makes your business stronger, and it lends credibility to your business. Amos 3:3, though, says some important advice. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And so one thing that I would say to you with this, the more closely people are part of your team, the more closely they should be aligned with your vision and your mission and your values. Now, does this mean that everyone that works with you has to be exactly aligned and they have to have the exact same beliefs as you? Not necessarily. So for instance, I can have a business and I'm not terribly as worried about the religious beliefs of my CPA that does my accounting. They know what they're doing, that's great. But if someone is going to be like my business partner and they're going to be a part owner in this, I want to know that we agree on what matters and that we're going to make the decisions according to our values and our beliefs. So the more closely someone is in your team, the more closely you need to match on these things. Now, that being said, it generally is advantageous to team up with people who are different than you. I'm doing the seminar with Clinger. I studied accounting. He's a marketer. We are different, and that's very good, because you don't want me doing the marketing part. I know a little, but not as much as he does. And so working together with people who fill in your strengths, I was talking to someone last night here, and she was saying, you know, I'd do this, but I would need someone on my team who is organized because I'm not. Hey, that's all right. Know yourself, right? And so find people that complement you, but make sure that you are agreed on the things that matter. Because you want to know, hey, this is what we do in business, what we don't do in business. I was just in a board meeting of an organization a couple days ago where we were really like, are we willing to buy into this kind of business? Does that match our values? Are we okay with that? Or should we get out of this business idea? Because I don't know if we want to be part of that. And those are things that you have to decide. How you handle Sabbath, how you handle your customers, you know, what you do with the different things that matter to you. And so make sure that you are aligned, you know what you're doing and why. Number five is your systems. So you have a good product, you have your marketing, you have your sales, you have your team, and then you've got to develop really good systems. The best businesses are very good at the systems that they have developed. And they're different for different types of businesses. So I'll give an example here of two businesses that have two very different types of approaches in their systems, at least historically. And that is Apple computers and Dell computers. All right. How many of you have Apple computers? All right. Boo. Aw, come on, guys. I know. All right. Strong feelings in the room. It's okay. Any Dell computer people in here? All right. There's a few of you in here. Apple, when they develop their systems of what they produce, how many options do you have when you go to buy a Mac computer? A few, right? It's like if I go on the website, I have the MacBook Air, I have the MacBook Pro. If I'm looking for a laptop, I have the whatever they call the desktop. I got a few things here. And in those, there might be like three different levels I can choose from. Cool. That's their model. They wanted it to be simple, and that's how they roll. You have a few things. They try to do them on good quality, hopefully, because you pay more for it, so it better be good quality, I hope, and so on and so forth. Now, Dell Computers made themselves a big business out of doing things a little bit differently. And I haven't looked recently, but when they really started to grow, If you ordered a computer for Dell, how many options did you have? Oh, they let you customize everything. They're like, you can have this color and this color and this color and this much RAM and that hard drive. And it's basically like build your own computer on the website. And they developed a whole just-in-time inventory system that backed that up. Their systems were built around their business model. In order to do that, they had to be able to not just stock certain models. They had to have their parts. They had to have them quickly and be able to customize very well. And that worked for them. Some of you still may or may not love their computers. Some do, some don't. But nonetheless, your systems back up your value proposition, what you're doing as a business. And so when I talk about systems, I'm basically talking about this back end of your business model. This is something called a business model canvas. We've kind of been going through pieces of these without using this exact model. You can look this up online. Please realize we're doing like an entire course in four sessions. So this is why we're building the Hive Academy Clincher, right? Be able to go into more depth on these things. But basically, Clincher was talking here about more of this front and your marketing, customer relations and channels and so forth. But when I'm talking about systems, I'm talking about this back end. I'm talking about the things you have to have behind the scenes to produce your product or service. And so this is made up of partners and activities and resources. Those are key areas you need to build systems for. So think about these when you're building your business. What activities do our value proposition require? So if my value proposition is producing metal water bottles, what type of systems do I need to do this? Yeah, well, I've got to get materials. So I have to have a supply chain. So I've got to figure out my supply chain to get materials. I have to have a manufacturing system, right? Whether I'm outsourcing this and having someone else make it, or if I'm making it in-house, I've got to have a whole system for that. I've got to have a system to distribute these, because I got to ship these and sell these. I've got to have a system for people to buy them, some type of point of sale system, whether they're buying in a physical store, whether they're buying online. There are a lot of systems that come into play to make it possible for me to sell water bottles to people. There just are. And so think about what are those key things in your business and how can you improve those? How can you build those out? And so it's how we produce our revenue streams, how we manufacture, the infrastructure we need, and make sure that as you're building your systems, you think about not just what you want your business to be like now, but what you want it to be like in the future as it grows. You may start small, but if this business is going to grow, think about the long term as you're building the short term. And a big example of why this matters affected some of you trying to get here to GYC, because there is a company which has had some major issues with their systems this last week. Yeah. I will tell you, I'm very thankful to be here right now because I flew Southwest. I was one of the lucky ones on the 20% of their flights that actually flew yesterday. But if you've been watching the news, do you know why Southwest has had such issues right now? Their software, their systems. So essentially, there was weather, first of all, that threw things off. But Southwest flies a little bit of a different business model than most airlines. Instead of a hub and spoke system where they have key airports where they fly into and then go out to everywhere else, they run in routes, kind of like a bus. You know the Southwest bus, right? And it goes to Phoenix and then LA and it just makes its route. The problem is when it gets off or there's a blockage in one of those places, then they're kind of stuck and they got to redo everything. And essentially, what's the big talk in the news right now is that they didn't really upgrade their systems soon enough. Their systems became outdated. They couldn't really deal with the circumstances, deal with the amount of growth that this airline has had, and it's been imploding. And there's a number of people who are not here right now, sadly, because of that. And some of you may have had troubles getting here because of that. So No, you may not build your system out to become huge overnight, but you want to build your systems thinking about growth. Think, where am I going with this business? How do I start building out my infrastructure now so that I can grow, so that I don't get stuck and capped in my business, or I've run into a whole bunch of problems because my system can't keep up. So it includes your activities. You also have to think about resources that go into your systems. And so I've got to have resources to produce my water bottles and to do my distribution and relationships. Now, resources can be physical, like actual metal and plastic and whatever, but they're also intellectual resources. You know, maybe I need people who know how to do marketing. Maybe I need people who can manufacture stuff and people who can do X, Y, Z that I don't do. That's intellectual resources. Human resources, actual manpower to do it. Financial resources. So as you're building out your business, it is worth your time to sit down and think through these areas. You'll start identifying things that you need to work on, that you need to investigate, that you need to start accumulating those resources and connections. So whether you've already started your business or whether you're just thinking about starting it, think through these pieces because they're super important. Well, I had a slide. I don't know where it went. But all right, it happens. The last one was partnerships. So the part of your system is having partnerships. And partnerships are super key to your business as well because you won't want to do everything yourself. I mean, manufacturing, for instance, when you're at a small scale, you're probably going to outsource that. And you're going to need a partner that's going to do that for you. There are things you do on your own. There are things you work with others to do. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. So it's worth your while to think, how can I make connections with others that we can work together on this? This is one thing that I think we're not always as good at in Adventism is our partnerships. We all kind of do our things and we don't know what each other is doing. It's part of why we're building this Hive business directory you can sign up for to try to know what other people are doing, to collaborate together, to share talent. You know, if I need a graphic designer and you're a graphic designer, how do we get connected together? And so on and so forth. So we're trying to build out that network, but having those key partners is part of having good systems as well. So those are things to think about. Number six, we have to talk a little bit about finances. All right, I'm just going to throw it out here. We cannot do a whole course on business finance in the next 12 minutes. Or 10 minutes. So this is very, very overview, but I do want to share with you some key metrics that you need to think about with your business. These are metrics that investors look at, and these are things that you'll want to look at to make sure your business is going in the right direction. Luke 14:28 says, "For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" And so we have to really think about what this business is going to require financially and whether our financial model is viable, or if you already have a business but you're looking to grow or scale it, same thing. We have to think about this concept. I was working with our students a few years ago in our Enactus program, and we wanted to start a business producing biodiesel. Pretty cool, right? Save the environment. We were going to get like all of this oil and waste, you know, from the cafeteria and other places on campus. And we were going to get the equipment and make our own diesel and sell it. And it was really awesome. It sounded really great. And we spent, a team of students spent about half a semester working on this. And one day started asking questions. As I was like, guys, so have you really, like, what are your numbers on this? How much is it going to cost you to, like, produce this? How much can you sell it for? And we sat down and sadly, within about 15 minutes, realized that there was no feasible way that we could actually produce this and be profitable. I know. But we spent half a semester before we realized that that was the case. So you've got to think about, you know, what are your actual costs And what can your revenue streams be? Now, today, we might want to bring back this project because, hey, with the price of fuel now, we might actually be profitable with this. At the price that fuel was then, how low it was, we were not going to be profitable. But doing that, counting the cost early, makes a big difference. You've got to really figure out, do I have the profit margin for this business to work? Even if you are a ministry, guys, ministries like to give things away. People expect ministries to give things away. However, if there ain't any money, there ain't any mission. It's like the saying, if you, you know, if you're going to make milk, you can't give away the cow. And so, yes, you want to help people, but you've got to make sure that you're able to pay your bills and so forth. Now, that may be through donations sometimes. That's fine. But then you've got to build up your donor base, and you've got to have that in place. So you have to have some type of revenue streams to make this work. And so this is important, whether you are a for-profit or a nonprofit. Both ways, you got to make sure that you're thinking about your margin. So here are some key metrics that I'd recommend that you think about with your business, and I'll show you a little bit more about these. And so, the first part is your profit margins. And so this is just the basic. Our profit margins on biodiesel were unfortunately not there at that time with what we were able to do. But your profit margin is thinking, all right, where's my gross profit? My gross profit is all my profit after my cost of the goods sold, the cost of the actual materials that go into the product or service, divided by my revenue. That's my profit margin. So you've got to have some margin. Now, how much margin do you need to have? Well, that's going to depend how much your overhead is. What do I mean by overhead? I'm talking about those fixed costs, those administrative costs to produce. So if I'm making this water bottle, if I sell it for $20 and I have $10 of actual costs, materials in it, then how much is my profit? $10. Gross. But what else do I have to pay for? Well, taxes. I got to have a factory, and I've got to pay the employees and the utilities, and I've got to marketing, and I've got to pay shipping, and I've got to pay a lot more than $10, right? And so make sure you're doing the math and you are pricing yourself where you can have a decent margin. An issue a lot of our businesses make is we underprice. You don't actually account for all your costs before you set the price. Now, obviously, your price is also dictated by what is in the market. You can't price yourself way above the market, or you'll be uncompetitive. But that may also mean if you're realizing this isn't looking good, that you've got to figure out how to cut costs and go back to your systems, refining your systems on that. And so your gross margin is everything after cost of goods sold. Your operating margin is you take out the operating expenses. Your net margin is after everything. Taxes, all of that comes out. You still have to have a margin left. You can also look online to see what typical margins are in your industry. So if, for instance, the typical profit margin in retail is different than the profit margin in food service, which is different than other industries. So you want to find out if you're getting into industry averages. It is harder in the beginning when you're small sometimes, but having a plan for your profit margins to improve them in the future as you scale the business is important too. Your cash burn rate, this is a measurement of how quickly your business is spending or burning through the money. It's your operating costs divided by the number of months. That's your burn rate. And so, for instance, businesses, when they start out, lose money. It just is. When you are starting a business and you're raising capital for it, a lot of businesses can plan to lose money for 2 to 3 years. Some of you are like, what? This is not always the case. This depends. I mean, if you're just self-employed, you know, doing handyman jobs for someone, you should not be losing money for 2 to 3 years. If you're having to build a soap factory like we did in Zambia, we got to pay off costs, and there's a while that it takes before you start being profitable. So this is important because this tells me how much capital I need to raise, not just to build my startup costs, but to also make it for those first months or years till I'm profitable. So I think about that. I need to know that I have working capital, that my assets are greater than my liabilities, and I have something to work with on this. I need to look at the cost that it's taking me to acquire new customers. That's the cost of my sales and marketing divided by the new customers acquired. If this cost is super high, what does it probably mean? My marketing ain't working. And so if I'm putting a lot into sales and marketing, but I'm not getting the customers, then I might need to edit how I'm doing my marketing. So that's a good way to evaluate the effectiveness of your marketing, seeing how many customers you're getting for that marketing. The lifetime value of a customer is the annual customer value times the average lifespan. So how much do my customers spend at my business every year, and how many years do they keep coming back? That gives an idea of customer lifetime value. Now, as a general rule, it is way cheaper to keep a customer than to do what? To get a new customer. So if you can find ways to increase your customer lifetime value to keep them coming back to you and coming back for longer, your business is going to be a lot more profitable than if you're always trying to get new customers. So businesses are always looking for ways to produce other things that the same customers want to keep those customers coming in if possible. Look at your payback periods. Investors are definitely want to know this. If they're going to invest money in your business, they want to know how much they're going to get paid annually and how long it's going to take them to get their money paid back for that investment. And so that's something they're going to want to know. Your monthly recurring revenue is your monthly average revenue per user times your users. It's also a common thing that investors look for. They want to see what you're getting. And then you have your churn rate. This basically looks at how many customers you're losing. Customers at the beginning of the month minus customers at the end of the month divided by the beginning. So these are some things we don't always think about. Obviously, you can look these up later, but I encourage you to take time to think about your business, do these projections, and also evaluate, where's my business at on these margins? A lot of times I meet people who are like, I don't know why my business isn't doing well. This might tell you. Maybe you'll start realizing that, well, I'm doing a lot of marketing, but it's not producing, or I'm not keeping my customers, or I'm having issues. My margins are too small. And so those are some things that you can look at. Figure out if your profit model works, your revenue, your costs. And again, when you plan for startup and you're getting investments or donors, if you're a nonprofit, think about not just your initial costs to get started, but those first several years. That time when you're still building up to the scale where you will be profitable. And last, we said discipline. Just going to leave you with something else before we take our break for lunch and then come back to marketing this afternoon. I like this quote by Jim Collins in the book Good to Great. Greatness is not a function of circumstance. Greatness, it turns out, is largely a matter of conscious choice and discipline. So all of these principles that we talked about do not matter if you do them once. They matter if you do them, and then you do them again, and then you do them again, and you keep doing them. The biggest mistake that I see a lot of businesses make is that they don't keep going in the direction. We just had our business strategy students do a simulation. The team that lost horribly was the team that kept changing their direction. They did something, didn't work, they did something else. They never actually just said, okay, we've done our research, this is what we're going to do, we're going to stick with this. Doesn't mean you don't make adjustments. That is important. But at the same time, that discipline continuing to do the right things. And I like this analogy, actually comes from Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point. They're discussing why epidemics start, how fads or trends start, or how even businesses take off. And the idea was that there comes a tipping point with your business or with whatever you're working on. A few people will be doing it or you'll be working and it'll seem really slow, kind of like going up the hill of a roller coaster. Anyone like roller coasters? Okay, no. All right, the rest of you, that's okay. But if you're going on a roller coaster, it's hard. You're going up, you're going up, you're going up. Then there comes this point where you get to the top. We call this the moment of terror. Some of you know this, where you're like, how did I get up here? Who talked me into this? And then what happens once you go over that edge? Excitement. You ain't going back. Don't give up on your business. You might be close to your tipping point. A lot of people give up because they've not persevered long enough to get to that point where it really takes off. And so you can get there, you go over, and then it can become unstoppable. This afternoon, you got to come back so we can tell you more how to market and grow your business to get to this point. But just realize it's going to take some discipline, it's going to take some effort, but it is worth it, and you can make it. So, Clinger, did I miss anything? I think we're out of time. Great. All right, well, let's pray one more time. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to work on these businesses. We've just scratched the surface on a lot of principles. A lot of these, some of people here may know and have heard all of this. For some people, it may be new. But I just pray that you would guide us to how to put our businesses together in a way that works, in a way that we can reach people and also be sustainable and successful in what we are doing, for-profit, non-profit, ministry, business, all of these. So just guide us, Lord. Help us to have a good lunch, to come back this afternoon to learn how to market and pitch our businesses, and just continue to guide us spiritually as well, Lord, because if we're doing it for ourselves and not for you, there's not a point. And so keep in mind what matters. Help us to keep in mind what matters. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message was recorded in partnership with Audioverse at the GYC conference Break Forth in Phoenix, Arizona. GYC, a supporting ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, seeks to challenge and inspire young people to take sacrificial initiative for Christ and to see Jesus finish the work in this generation. For other resources like this, visit us online at gycweb.org.